Greetings and good morning. Thank you for choosing Mountain Grown Community Radio, KVNF. My name is Eric Gould. It's 8 o'clock, and here is your local newscast for Friday, October 5th. At last week's Paonia Town Council meeting, representatives from Union Pacific Railroad announced that they want to close 3 railroad crossings in town limits. KVNF's Ariana Brocious spoke to Delta County Independent reporter Kathy Browning about the proposal.
So, Kathy, Union Pacific Railroad wants to close 3 railroad crossings here in the town of Paonia. Can you explain why that is?
The first thing is there is a national mandate that they want to close 25% of these passive types of crossings. The Union Pacific has, for quite some time, since the early 2000s, wanted to close North Fork, Oak, and Delta streets. Those are 3 passive crossings here on 2nd and 3rd primarily. So people would still have access to 2nd and 3rd.
And a passive crossing is one without lights and bells and whistles, basically.
That's correct. The reason why they want to do this is it will cut down on the possibility for collisions, not only for train and car collisions, but also for just car-car collisions or pedestrian car, all those types of things.
And there have been a number of incidents in Paonia with the railroad in recent years. Is that right? Including the most recent fatality.
That's correct. There's been 5 accidents since they've started collecting and watching this type of data in Paonia. And the latest was the fatality with an 87-year-old Paonia woman.
So how are they going to decide the rationale for closing these? I mean, how do they determine if it's an okay decision to close these particular crossings?
One of the things they're going to do is a traffic study. And they will find out how much traffic is going there. Each of these closures that they're talking about is in the North Fork subdivision. The one on North Fork seems particular to really isolate those people because there's just first there is just one lane. So the people will just have that one access out to second. The other thing they're looking at is it has to be within 1 minute that the emergency equipment would get there. The one thing that was pointed out in the meeting is that there was a traffic survey done previously, and what I believe they were referring to and what the town has available is a study that was done by Corona Research in 2002 through 2005 when this was commissioned by the town of Paonia and the North Fork Coal Working Group. And actually, this doesn't appear to be so much a traffic study to me. It's identified as a railroad crossing noise and safety survey. And in that, they were mainly talking about quality of life issues and people's perception of the noise and the inconvenience of having the crossings. Back at that time, people did not want any closures. And the reason was people said, we don't want the railroad telling us that we can't have access to our neighborhoods, and we want emergency equipment to be able to get where they need to get. Again, this time, they're going to measure the length of time that it will take and also say what route possibly emergency equipment would go to reach the neighborhoods.
So Union Pacific will pay for the traffic study, after which you've reported they'll also have a public hearing to get input from the town of Paonia and residents here. Is that right?
Yeah, I believe that will be a town council public hearing. But yes, and what they do, Union Pacific will hire the consultants and engineers to do the traffic study. They also will be the ones who prepare the application for the PUC. The Public Utilities Commission is who will make the final determination if the 3 crossings at Oak, Delta, and North Fork will be closed.
And by closed, we literally mean barricaded. I mean, no through traffic definitely not for vehicles. And I don't even know, is it pedestrian friendly or not?
No, it will be totally closed. The purpose is so the trains do not have to stop during that time. So the barricades will be up, and I do not believe that they want people walking over the tracks there or any bicycle activity. Another of the reasons why they want to close these three crossings is because it will reduce maintenance costs to them.
And this is something that the railroad would pay for as well.
They will make a donation to the town for the cost of the barriers.
Okay, thanks a lot, Kathy.
Thank you.
For more on that story, read Kathy Browning's piece in this week's edition of the Delta County Independent. More strong winds yesterday fanned the flames of a wildfire north of Rifle, which has now burned more than 900 acres. In a release, Bureau of Land Management spokesman David Boyd said crews are using a heavy helicopter, two single-engine air tankers, and about 75 firefighters to fight the fire, which broke out Wednesday. A Colorado Army National Guard air crew is part of the team helping Garfield County authorities with fire suppression efforts. More aircraft were expected to arrive yesterday. The fire is about 9 miles from Rifle Gap Reservoir along the eastern edge of Colorado Highway 13. The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reported that the exact cause of the fire remains under investigation, and it is assumed to be human-caused because it started right along the highway. The Sentinel reported that no homes or other structures are immediately threatened, and no evacuations have occurred. KVNF has teamed up with the Watch newspapers to bring you stories from Montrose, Ouray, and San Miguel counties. Here's managing editor Gus Jarvis with this week's Watch report.
A miner at the Revenue Virginius is reportedly in stable condition after an accident on Monday. According to Ouray County Sheriff Dominic Jr. Mativi, the victim was working underground with the jackleg drill, finishing up some rock bolting. The drill got away, pinned him against the wall, and hit him against the side of the face. He sustained damage to his ear and neck. County law enforcement and medical officials responded to the scene. Mativi reported that the accident victim was conscious and talking and was transported from the mine to a hospital in Flight for Life helicopter from Montrose. The historic Revenue Virginius mine is located near Yankee Boy Basin, nearly 7 miles south of Ouray. The county is currently undergoing intensive rehabilitation designed to bring it back into production in the near future. According to mine spokesman Rory Williams, Mine Safety and Health Administration officials investigated the accident on Monday and determined that it was a genuine accident and there was no negligence involved. The employee is expected to make a full recovery. Montrose Memorial Hospital is preparing for the future with 6 recent property acquisitions. The hospital has spent about $1.3 million on the 6 properties since the beginning of the year, all of which are contiguous to the hospital's current location. The properties include 3 buildings which will or currently do house healthcare services. The other 3 acquisitions are former homes which could be rented, but will more than likely be demolished to create more campus parking and/or hospital buildings. The buildings were paid for in whole from the hospital's capital budget. Hospital board member James Whitcomb says the new properties, which are all now on the hospital's list of fixed assets, will allow the hospital to stay at its current location with room to grow. Last week, the hospital board hired Tennessee-based American Health Facilities Development to create a long-range facilities plan, which could be developed early next year. The plan will set out the most sensible and efficient way to expand buildings, parking, and utilities with an eye to patient flow and access. This year alone, the hospital expects to welcome a total of 10 new physicians to its medical staff. The Montrose Memorial Hospital, Inc. Board of Directors currently leases the hospital from the Montrose Memorial Hospital Board of Trustees, appointed by the county commissioners. The hospital currently receives no money or funding from taxpayers. Hydropower will soon be coming from the Ridgeway Dam. In about a month, Tri-County Water Conservancy District officials are hopeful they will be able to break ground on the project. When finished, the 8-megawatt project will create about $1 million annually in revenues. 2 turbines and 2 generators with winter and summer flow systems will produce enough electricity for about 300 homes each year. Tri-County Water General Manager Mike Berry says that the 2 different systems, both of which can operate during peak flows, is the most efficient method of capturing energy from the dam. Tri-County Water is now waiting for the Bureau of Reclamation to approve the final design plans. They also need to reach an interconnection agreement, which will allow for the power to get onto the grid with the Tri-State Generation and Transmission Association before construction begins. Tri-State is the wholesale power provider for the area's electrical providers, including the Delta Montrose Electric Association and the San Miguel Power Association. Barry says brokering an agreement with Tri-State has been a lengthy and expensive process. The city of Aspen will purchase power produced in the winter, about 40% of its total hydropower produced, while Tri-State will purchase the other 60% that is produced during the rest of the year. You've been listening to the Watch Weekly Report. For KVNF News and the Watch newspaper, I'm Gus Jarvis.
For more on those stories, visit watchnewspapers.com. Colorado Parks and Wildlife officials are seeking information on the illegal poaching of a bull elk near Telluride about a week ago. According to the agency, the manager of the West Meadows subdivision found the elk within the gated community last Thursday. The animal was shot with a rifle, its head had been cut off and removed, and it had been partially field dressed. District Wildlife Officer Joe Koch thinks the elk was dragged some distance by an all-terrain vehicle and probably killed the weekend prior. Wildlife officers rely on the help from the public to solve poaching crimes. Colorado Parks and Wildlife officials are asking anyone with information about the incident to call their office in Montrose at 252-6000 or Operation Game Thief at 877-265-6648. Tips can be made anonymously, and rewards are possible for tips that lead to a conviction. And that concludes your local newscast for Friday. For KVNF Mountain Grown Community Radio, this is Eric Gould. Brian Cambria will be back with you on Monday. Thanks to Arianna Brocious and the KVNF News Department for their help this week. Have a great weekend, and thanks for listening.